minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome inside another draft edition of a Pack-A-Day Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Nick Schmitz, and guys, we are 8 days away from the NFL draft. It is coming, and it is coming very fast here. It'll be here before you know it, next Thursday. Make sure you have your schedules set accordingly so that you can be there, see who the Packers take with the 12th and 30th pick, assuming that they don't do anything obscure or strange with those picks. Maybe they'll trade, maybe they won't. So before we get into it today, just one bit of note. It's not necessarily a Packers note, but more of just a league note. If you haven't seen or heard already, make sure to set your calendars. Tonight, the NFL is set to release its schedule. So that'll be coming out tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So once you're done listening to the podcast, make sure you go to wherever you like to go to get your NFL news and look at the Packers schedule for 2019, where they're playing and when. That'll all be coming out tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure to check that out later tonight. All right, well, without further ado, let's jump into the podcast today. Joining me again this week is Owen Reese. Russell Brown could not join us today. He had some things come up with his family, so it'll be just me and Owen tonight. Owen is a writer for Buck's Fifth Quarter and Inside the Pylon, and played right guard at Carroll University. You can follow him on Twitter at Reese Draft. So, Owen, today we are talking about the tight end position in the draft, a position that many feel the Packers need. They have Jimmy Graham. He didn't quite turn out to be what they kind of hoped he would be last year. And after that, you know, they brought back Mercedes Lewis, but he's up there in age. And, you know, he's more of a blocking tight end than actually a receiving tight end. So the two big name tight ends in the draft are TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant, both tight ends from Iowa. They are linked to being first round picks, and both of them have been linked to the Packers as potential landing spots at either 12 or 30 in the first round. So let's just get right into it with these guys. So TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant, they're both juniors. Hockenson is 6'5", 251, runs a 4.7 40, 17 reps on the bench, and has a 37.5-inch vertical. Noah Fant, he is 6'4", 249, runs a 4.5 40, 20 reps on the bench, and a 39.5-inch vertical. So height, weight, they're pretty similar in build, pretty close in 40-yard time, and, I mean, when you look at these numbers, and obviously they don't tell the whole story, but they are on paper, they look very similar. So both have been linked to the Packers as possible first-round picks. So, Owen, to you, who is the better tight end, and which one would be a better fit for the Packers right now?
I think TJ Hockenson is probably the better fit for the Packers. Matt LaFleur uses a lot of tight ends, a lot of two tight end sets coming out of that Shanahan-McVay tree. And really, TJ Hockenson is much more adept playing inline, much more comfortable as a blocker, and much more effective as a blocker than Noah Fant is. So I think that for an offense like Green Bay that's going to covet deception, maybe for lack of a better word, or having a lot of things look very similar, a lot of window dressing as far as formations and things, but a lot of similar concepts and things that build off of each other. I think that Hockenson's, while his electric, or maybe his receiving ability isn't as electric as Noah Fant's, I think that overall game would appeal more to Green Bay than Fant's more, a little more one-dimensional. I was actually at a coaching clinic earlier this spring, and Iowa's offensive line coach was there and spoke and was very glowing of TJ Hockenson, but also mentioned about Noah Fant that when Fant got to Iowa, he compared him to a point guard. He's like, he wanted nothing to do with anyone any contact, any size, anything other than catching the ball. So while Fant is no slouch in the run game, it's by no means a weakness of his as he's developed at Iowa. I think Hockenson is a dynamic blocker, and I guess probably the gap between Hockenson and Fant's receiving ability is smaller than the gap between Hockenson and Fant as a blocker. So I think, to me, Hockenson's probably the more ideal fit, although really you'd probably have a hard time going wrong with either of them if you're Green Bay.
And so when we talk about fit and everything, you know, one of the things we look at, if you take them with the first round, there's a lot of expectations. First round picks are usually expected to contribute rookie year. Is there one that is more NFL ready today in the sense that come day one, you're going to notice an impact? Or are they both there? Or are they both going to need some time to develop? Where do they stand as far as being able to contribute right away for the Packers?
I would be willing to say that Hockenson is probably a bit closer to being immediately ready to contribute. Like I said, just due to that blocking, he has transferable skills. Obviously, the level of physicality is different from the NFL than it was in college. But coming from the Big Ten and as much physical football and a lot of tight ends and stuff as Iowa and the rest of the Big Ten uses, I think that's as other than maybe being in the SEC, I think that's probably the best transition you can make as a tight end. Fant obviously has the receiving ability. I think you can flex him out kind of like what the Chiefs do a lot with Travis Kelce. I think they're pretty similar that way. And that's an immediate thing. Moving to the NFL, there's the difference in the speed and size of the defenders and the coverage ability of guys. But I'd probably see them very similar that way. I would, like I said, lean Hockenson due to the blocking ability. But both should be able to contribute immediately as receivers as well. And like I said, Fant being a bit different, probably being detached from the formation rather than in line like Hockenson. I guess I would give the slight edge to Hockenson again, though I don't think there's by no means a chasm between the two. To expound on these two a bit, Noah Fant came into 2018 with all the hype. Nobody was talking about TJ Hockenson. Noah Fant put up big time touchdown numbers in 2017 and was really the projected Mackey Award winner, or projected to be that way. He's the up and away the most recognizable tight end heading into this season. And while obviously he's really done nothing to hurt that, to be kind of leapfrogged by your teammate is something pretty amazing, really. That Hockenson went from a guy that was a role player at Iowa last year to, like I said, to leapfrogging one of the nation's top tight end prospects within their own team, I think was pretty unique. And that was another thing that Coach Palasek, Iowa's offensive line coach, was talking about, that it'd be the first team in NFL history to have, or first college team to produce two first round tight ends in the same year, which is pretty remarkable when you think about it.
Yeah. Very remarkable. Tight end is a interesting position in the draft in the sense that you go all the way back to 2000, you're usually seeing at least one tight end taken in the draft, in the first round anyway. Green Bay hasn't taken a tight end in the first round of the draft since 2000, when they drafted Bubba Franks at number 14 overall. So speaking of tight ends in the first round, is the tight end position worthy of a first round pick? And I know a lot of that kind of depends on what players you have and, what their skill levels are. But when you look at positions, obviously offensive tackle, quarterback, those are, defensive ends, edge rushers. Those are kind of the players they're the true impact players. So is tight end worthy of a consideration for a number one pick?
Typically, I would be in the camp that said no. I'm a big believer in that you need to take the best football players you can, so I try not to exclude positions. But you're right, to an extent, tight end isn't necessarily a premium position. And in most classes, I think that you wouldn't really consider it. But we've talked about this on the pod the last couple of weeks. the flexibility that the Packers really purchased themselves in free agency, addressing some of those other needs. And you don't want to draft from need with your first pick in the first round either. But really, it wouldn't shock me at all if the Packers have one or both of those tight ends very high on their board. One or both of them should be available at 12. And in an offense that, and LeFleur has mentioned, that is going to be more reminiscent of Shanahan's offense than McVay's, at least as far as a personnel grouping standpoint. San Francisco just featured George Kittle breaking the NFL record for receiving yards and catches in a season. So it's not maybe as big of a stretch as it normally would be to create a compelling argument that a tight end in the top 15 might not be quite as much of a reach as it would be traditionally.
So if you consider, let's pretend for a second that Green Bay, they take a position other than tight end at 12, and both Fant and Hockenson are sitting there at 30, and say they take one of them at 30, and then say that they get to 44 in the second round and the other one is still sitting there. Is that something that Green Bay looks at and considers, hey, we can take one in the first round and the other one in the second round? Is that something that Green Bay would consider, taking both of them?
That's a good question. I guess shooting from the hip, I'd probably say no, just because that's a very large investment in one position, especially one like tight end, where really you only have one starter. I mean, if you're going to lead the league in like 21 personnel, in 12 personnel, then by all means, go for it. I think it wouldn't be the most outlandish thing when you consider that after 2019, Jimmy Graham's probably gone and Mercedes Lewis is like 36 years old. So, I mean, if you move forward into 2020 and your three tight ends are TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, and Robert Tonyan, if he's still on the roster at that point, you could be set up a hell of a lot worse than having those two guys, those two premier tight ends, both on your roster. I think that would probably be a bit of an embarrassment of riches situation. I don't foresee, and I understand we're just doing this for the sake of the exercise. I don't foresee either of them getting out of the first round. I think that Green Bay is going to be obviously a target at either spot. I also think that it would be hard pressed for the other one to not get picked by the Raiders in those 24th and 27th picks. Iowa very much known for being a big time culture school. We know what we are. We have our identity. We play to our identity. We recruit to our identity. We're tough guys. We're strong. We run the football, and we're physical football players. I think that's going to appeal to Mike Mayock quite a bit, John Gruden as well. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Raiders weren't big players for either of these guys with those two first round picks they have in the 20s. But yeah, I mean, I guess for the sake of the exercise, if the Packers took, Brian Burns at 12 or Ed Oliver or a front seven player, for instance, and then at 30 and 44, they were able to get both of them at tight end. Like I said, it would be a big investment to a position that we just clarified isn't necessarily a premium position. But I mean, for lack of a more appropriate example, the Patriots took Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez in the same class, and obviously we saw how that worked out off the field, but on the field it worked out to perfection. As far as they were concerned, they had extended both of them early. They were both premier players of their position, up and coming, and really allowed that offense a ton of flexibility, because you could sit in 12 personnel and teams legitimately don't know if you're going to run with two tight ends or if you can beat them with the pass with two tight ends. So that's a hell of a concept or a hell of a possibility. I don't know if it would happen, and I don't know if the Packers would do it, but I think there's a lot worse decisions that teams are going to make in the first round in this class than the Packers would be doing that.
So when we look at the Packers and their two first-round picks, from what you know about the position and the draft, if they were to take one of these two guys, assuming they're available, Is it more likely that they draft one of them at 12, or is it more likely that they take someone else at 12 and wait till 30 to see if one of these two guys is still there?
Well, and I think that's what, like you just said, I think that's the issue that the Packers might have is that the, well, we'll see if they're still there. I think if you're high enough on a tight end that you would consider taking them at 12, I don't think you risk them getting to 30. I think at this point I would probably lean towards it's more likely for them to take one at 12. Like I said, just to see if they're that high on both of them, you know, just make sure you go get your guy. If you're that high on TJ Hockenson or Noah Fant, go get him, because I think you'd rather maybe quote unquote reach for a guy that as a team you're very high on, and it would be a quote unquote reach from like a position value perspective or a media perspective. But if Noah Fant's the number four player on the Packers board, go get him at 12. That's great value. And that's a premier position for you. It might not be a premier position value wise, but if you're that high on a player, go get him. And that makes him a premier player at a position, on your roster. So I guess at this point, if they take one of the two top tight ends, I would pick probably the 12th pick, as being more likely of the two, to end up that way.
And so now let's again kind of run through another exercise here. So let's assume that they go, like you said, a front seven player at 12. Does Green Bay, or do you even view either of these guys as someone where Green Bay sits there and says, well, we can trade the 30th pick and maybe the 44th pick to move up to 20 and grab them because they probably won't be there by 30 if that's what they're thinking. Are either of them worth, you know, trading up for and maybe throwing away your second, your number 44 pick in order to get them? And I'm assuming a lot of your answer is going to be based on, well, do you value them that way? But is that something that Green Bay considers, or are they really not worth throwing that second round pick away for them?
I see. And that's interesting. I think because if you value them highly enough, I guess, and I don't think it's out of the question, I guess, to answer yours. If the Packers have TJ Hockenson as a top 8 player on their board or a top 10 player on their board, but they also had Brian Burns or they also had Jonah Williams or Juwan Taylor or whomever, and they took him at, you know, Juwan Taylor was the number 3 player on Packers board, and he was there at 12, so they took him. And then you get up there and you're like, well, TJ Hockenson's number 9. And right now we're at the 20th slot. I don't think he's going to get to 30. We have a much higher grade on Hockenson than we do on anyone that we would be able to get at 30. I don't think, it might not be a super popular decision for the fans. It might not be super sexy, the prospect of the three top 44 guys. But really, that's kind of what you got this first round pick for, was the ability to, it's a luxury. If you want to stay pat at 30, go ahead. If you want to use it to move up, because you wouldn't be able to move up to 20 with just 44, you'd be salvaging further and further into your draft. So I would have no issue with it. I think that if they were to do so, I think that would be a glowing endorsement of what they feel or what they think of either of those tight ends, rather than anything else. But I mean, I would have no issue with it. I think at that point to trade back up, to get there, I think that in the Packers' mind, they're getting a big-time premier player, and I think any fan should be excited about that. Might not be excited about giving up the extra capital for what they may perceive to be a unworthy player, but like I said, anytime you can add a talent that the team values that highly, I think you're pretty happy with it.
All right, well, so we've spent a lot of time talking about Hockenson and Fant, and that's because they are the two top tight ends in this draft. So let's look elsewhere within the tight end position. Give me some guys that you're kind of thinking that the Packers could draft maybe later on in the draft, second, third, fourth, maybe even fifth round, that you'd get good value and that could fit into this offense. Who are some guys you're looking at for that?
Sure. So I think the first one, I'll go how I perceive them or where they, I think they'll end up going in that order. The first one would be Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M. He went to Kansas for his freshman year, and then he went to a JUCO and ended up at A&M and really kind of blew up. He's a, He's probably more of a Fant style receiver, more of a flex style tight end. He's not not going to get paid to block for sure. I think maybe a slightly less impressive workout, but the same style of player as Mike Kosicki was a couple years ago coming out of Penn State. He's a big, he's like 6'4", 250, really solid athlete, good over the middle, reliable hands. I think he's probably, like I said, more in that Fant role. However the Packers want to use, you know, the non-traditional inline tight ends. However you would plan to use Jimmy Graham in 2019, I think is probably how you would plan on using Jace Sternberger in 2020. If you were to go that route moving forward. The next one I'll go with is Trevon Wesco from West Virginia. He's a bit of a different body type. He's like 6'3 and closer to 270. So he's kind of a shorter guy, more of a thought to be an H-back or possibly even a fullback. But guys like, you know, Matt, and I'm not going to compare them as a player, but Matt LaFleur was just in Tennessee. A lot of what he was attempting to do before he got hurt was to pattern this passing game around Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker is a much shorter than normal tight end as well. So I think that's something that size profile wouldn't scare LaFleur away. He's a devastating blocker. He's very physical with some deceiving abilities after the catch for a kind of a stouter, thicker guy. Can really make some moves in the open field and show that at West Virginia. And then the last name I'll mention here is someone that our buddy Ben Fennell mentioned in a tweet a few days ago when he was talking about what he thinks the Packers are going to look for at tight end, and that's Tommy Sweeney out of Boston College. There is absolutely nothing that Tommy Sweeney does that will blow you away, but he's another bigger guy. He's around 6'5 and 260, and I can we you and I were talking just prior to the to coming on the air here. I would call him like a Heath Miller light. He's a guy that he's going to line up in line. He's not going to threaten anybody with speed being flexed out in the slot, but he's going to line up in line. He's going to be very good as a blocker and offer enough as a receiver that you have to be honest with him as a defense. And I think that's something that with the Packers looking to run more 12 personnel, anything they can do to, like I said, to save face. I don't think Jimmy Graham's going to be a great option for them in year one in that role. And that's why I mentioned someone like Hockenson who can do both. I think that's where that value really is. And I think Tommy Sweeney is a much less shiny, much less sexy style of player in the same vein that TJ Hockenson is. I think that he'll be somewhere on day three. Some team's going to get their second tight end and be really happy with it. I think another guy that you could probably compare him to would be Anthony Fasano, the old Dolphins and Cowboys tight end. He's never going to be flashy or extraordinary from an athletic perspective, but he's going to be very solid. He's going to do exactly what you ask him to do, and he'll be good for three or four touchdowns a year in the red zone and be a very reliable blocker.
And quickly, for the listeners, those three guys that you just mentioned, if the Packers were to target any one of those three, where in the draft would Green Bay be looking to target these guys? Where do you think they would go as far as round?
I think if they could get Sternberger at 76, I think they'd be pretty happy with that. I think he's going to go on day two. Wesco, depending on how teams see him, you know, I think teams that see him as a tight end will have him a bit higher than as a fullback. But I think he's probably around round five. And then Sweeney's probably somewhere around there, maybe a little lower. I don't think teams are going to swoon over his athleticism or anything. So that could cause him to drop. We always see players with that quote unquote high upside get taken a bit higher, a little more premium on them from a draft perspective as far as potential. But Tommy Sweeney, probably in that fifth, sixth round, someone's going to get a tight end to for the next 6 to 7 years and really not regret it at all. You know, something that the fifth or sixth round pick, a lot of fans can scoff at and say, well, you know, who cares? It's a fifth or sixth round pick. Tommy Sweeney is about as sure a thing as you could probably going to get in this class. It's never going to be a high level starter or anything, but very solid somewhere in that mid day three range.
All right, great. Well, so before we wrap up here quick, Packers have two picks in the first round. Bold, just a prediction. If you had to put money on it, does Green Bay take a tight end in the first round?
I think they will.
All right. So be on the lookout for that in day one of the NFL draft. Again, just 8 days away. We're closing in on it. I know you're all very excited to see what the Packers do, especially with those two first round picks. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch in just over a week. Well, that is all the time that we have for today, guys. Owen, thank you very much for being here. Thank you so much for flying solo with me. We really appreciate your time here. Again, Owen is a writer for the Bucs Fifth Quarter and Inside the Pylon and played right guard at Carroll University. And you can follow him on Twitter at ReeseDraft. He will be back again with me next week, along hopefully with Russell Brown. Hopefully he'll be able to join us again next week. We'll be looking at the biggest draft sleepers right before the draft. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow. Steve, Dusty, and Tyler will be breaking down the running backs position and where Green Bay could maybe get some value there and what they should be looking for at the running back position in the draft. Thank you so much again for listening, guys. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at SportsSmitty. We'll be coming to you again, like I said, in a week, talking about draft sleepers. So with that, we are out of time for the day. Make sure to also tonight, remember, check out the NFL schedule that is being released tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can find out when the Packers will be playing all of their games for the upcoming 2019 season. So thank you so much again for listening, guys. And as always, go Pack, go.
Third and six, trailing 30-23, 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A-gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone.
Yes! Devontae Adams, left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers. 16-yard touchdown pass, the Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.
Beathard on third down and three in the shotgun. Football to the 46 at Green Bay. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Beathard looking, hit as he throws it. Deep down the right sideline. And intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay. Snap to Rodgers looking right. Throws the right side. St. Brown makes the tackle. Nice reach. Oh, he reached back to gather it in. Using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumbled out of bounds. Inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Snap to Rodgers. Looking downfield. Throws the left side. Devontae's got it. Out of bounds. Inside the 10-yard line. Oh, my goodness. What a throw and catch. Again, they beat Maven down the left sideline. Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good.
It is good.
Mason Crosby delivers the dagger. One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. And the Packers win 33-30.